was meeting with someone recently. I can't remember exactly when it was, but they were sharing with me this really difficult time that they were going through. And the more that they told me, the more that I recognized that I had gone through a very similar situation. And so I just kind of bore my soul to them, and I said, hey, I understand. Here's what I went through. And I told them all the devastation that I went through in that situation like theirs. And so they responded in kind of a unique way, right? I just finished telling them that this situation was totally devastating to me. And so afterwards, after I said that, they looked at me in the eye and they said, I can't tell you how much better that makes me feel. And I thought, well, I'm glad I made your day better, but I just told you how really hard this time was and how difficult it was to get through it. And here's what I recognize. They didn't mean that they were glad that I'd gone through a difficult time that was similar to theirs just because they wanted me to go through a difficult time. They were sharing that because they recognized that they were not alone in that situation. Because I had gone through something similar to them, they realized that they were not in this alone. And so I think it's important for us never to mislead anybody here into thinking that Pastor Steve or Pastor Terry or Pastor David or even myself, that we've got like this easy jaunt through life and that everything that we do comes easy to us because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are no different from you. We struggle and we go through challenging times. And I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you today. I fight every day to honor God by being who He's calling me to be. And it doesn't just happen. It takes an effort. And it's my desire to honor Him by trying to empty myself of me so that I can be filled with Him. And so there are challenges that I face on a day-by-day basis that says, am I going to do what I know God wants me to do or am I not today? Am I going to do what I really feel like doing, kind of in the flesh, right? I struggle with that on an ongoing basis. And I'm hoping that that's of some comfort to you who think that some of these Christians out there, they just got it easy. And if they had to face what I have to face, then they wouldn't be looking as good as they may be looking, at least on the outside. That's not true. We all go through challenges. And I think it's important for you to know that. And then I think it's also equally important for you to know that the Bible never says that it's going to be easy. The Bible never promises that once you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that everything kind of gets ironed out and smoothed out. And you just take this easy jaunt through life until you see Jesus face to face when you die or when He returns. And then you spend eternity with Him in heaven. Right. Everything's rosy once you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Can I just tell you that is not the case? Certainly hasn't been the case for me. I don't think it's been the case for you either. But I do believe that there's some great benefits that come with obedience to Jesus. I think there's some great things that God does in the heart of an individual who desires His ways over our own. And one of the things that I believe will happen 100% of the time is that you will grow in strength and maturity as a follower of Christ. Right? The more you dedicate yourself to following Him and seeking His face and praying, we talked about this last week, humbling yourself before Him. The more you do that, the more God says, here we go. We're going to do this together. This is going to be an amazing journey. Not easy, not without some struggle and some hardship. But man, you won't believe who I'm going to make you become like as you accept the opportunity that I'm giving you to be refined kind of by fire through the trials and the challenges that I'm going to allow you to face. And here's the thing that happens when you're a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. Two things. Number one, you're empowered by Christ, right? You've got power. Philippians 4:13, right? The attitude of a believer is I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? All things. That's a big word. Small in number of letters, huge in scope. And sequence, right? All things, anything that you face can be overcome by the power of Christ that fills you. And then John 16:13 says that you have be given wisdom and guidance by the Holy Spirit as a believer and follower of Christ, right? So you've got an opportunity now not only to know the way that God would have you to go, but to receive power to go that way and accomplish amazing things in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's the journey of a believer. That's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that tomorrow's going to possibly be challenging and possibly be difficult and things aren't necessarily going to fall into place. But because of who Christ is, it's going to be okay. And he's going to guide me through it. And at the end of that trial or that challenge that I may be facing tomorrow, I'm going to look a little bit more like him because of it. You know, Jesus wants you to know that. And I'm going to share this with you. For some of you, this is going to sound a little strange. Others, you won't be surprised about this at all. Here's what's really happening in these challenges. We live in a spiritual world. Now, you and I, we only see the physical, right? So the things that we see with our eyes, the things that we hear with our ears, those are the things that we often feel like we're facing. But there's this spiritual realm that's bombarding us with challenge. And according to Scripture, there are two realms in the spiritual world. You can divide them right down the middle and separate them because they're far apart. You've got the realm of good and you've got the realm of evil. And the realm of good is led by God and the realm of evil is led by Satan. So think about this for a second with me. When you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, here's what you're doing. You know, you're crossing the line. You're moving from one camp to the other because Romans 5:10 tells us that we are enemies of God before we place our faith and trust in God. Now, you may not have known that. You may have not considered yourself an enemy. You may have not called yourself an enemy. You may have been praying and worshiping and calling out his name. But if you are not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're an enemy of God. And when you place your faith and trust in Christ, you move from the camp of evil, of Satan, over to the camp of good. And you know what happens? They come after you. They want to attack you. The Bible describes like fiery darts and arrows coming at you, right? And all this stuff. Now, I haven't seen one yet. I haven't physically felt the fire piercing my skin of a fiery arrow. But let me just tell you something. I know they've been shot at me. I know I've gone through some real, real tough times that I unmistakably that is coming from the enemy, and he desires to kill and steal and devour and destroy me and my faith in Christ. And let me just say this to you again, that happens every day. Every day I've got a decision to make. Am I going to follow and serve God and honor him and please him? Or am I going to follow and serve myself and honor and please myself? So Jesus wants you to know this. Right. Jesus wants you to understand this truth. John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace, because he says in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. Right. So the idea is I'm the winner and you must choose who you're going to serve. You're going to choose the loser or you're going to choose the winner. And it may look like you're winning when you're serving the loser, but ultimately you're going to lose with him. You're going down if you're not with me. So cross that line. Believe. Have faith and follow me. And it may occasionally look like it isn't working out well for you. And why did I make this decision? And why am I living for Christ if things aren't in better order and less destruction and challenge? And the answer is, hang on. It's all going to work out at the end. Christ says, I'm going to lead you through all this. So I think this is important for us to know, because Jesus is telling you that when you can't make sense out of the things that are going on in your life, just doesn't make sense. God, I'm serving you and I love you and I'm honoring you with my life, but it's not really working well for me right now. You can turn to him and say, but I trust you. You are the one who knows and understands this. I was listening to someone share recently, and it caught my attention because this young man that they were speaking about is actually from an area that I used to live in. And so he was at a conference and he was listening to the speaker, and something that the speaker shared resonated with him. And so he caught the speaker at the end and said, hey, can I share something that I've been through? And the speaker said, yeah, absolutely. You know, tell me about it. He says, well, he said, I was in a tornado. And in this tornado, I was watching everything become destroyed and all these challenges that are happening around me, and this debris is just flying around me. And so my house got destroyed and every member of my family was killed in that tornado. And the speaker was just taken back by that. And he said, "What? How did that impact you?" And he says, "Well, it was crazy." He said, "Just imagine this. I'm watching this unfold and things are flying apart. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to die." And he said, "Suddenly this tornado lifted me up and threw me hundreds of feet away. And I don't know when I landed, if it knocked me unconscious or not. But when I came to and looked up, the place where my house used to be was nothing but debris. And I knew that my family who had been in it, there's no chance that they could be alive." And the speaker was going, "I am so sorry for that. How are you doing?" He said, what do you make of all that?" And the young man made an amazing comment. He said, "You know what I think? I think God has such a great plan for my life that he's chosen for me to still be here rather than with my family in heaven." Well, the speaker was blown away. I mean, he wrote about this and he spoke about this later. He said, "I expected him to speak of the disillusionment that he had to have had with losing his family and his home, you know, or even the disgust that he had that God would let him go through such a thing. But this young man gets it. He gets that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And there's a plan that goes beyond what we see in the physical that's occurring in the spiritual when we're playing for the winning side. And God says, just trust me in this." And so this young man, he just simply said, "I just think God's got something great in store for me if he's chosen to have me still here." Most of you have heard this statement that goes, "What doesn't kill you, right, will make you stronger." And you've heard this one too. "When the going gets tough." Yeah, right. We know that. I think that's absolutely true for believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ. I think the harder things become, the more we have to depend on Christ for strength to persevere through that. And the better that we look at the end when we come out the other side. And you probably have heard this verse. If you've been in this church, you've heard me share it a number of times. And Paul says that we should know it, right? He starts out this verse with saying, "And we know." So we should know this. But do we know it? Do we understand it? Because if we know it, then why do we respond the way that we respond when things aren't working the way that we thought that they should, right? Because this is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:28. "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purposes." Right? All things, in all things. The promise isn't that everything that you experience is going to be good. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. There's going to be some bad. But in the good as well as in the bad, in the all of those things, God's working for the good of who? Him? Certainly. I mean, certainly things have to work in his good. He's God. And we want everything to work for his good. But you know, that's not what the Apostle Paul says there. He says good for you. That he's working for what's good for you. And we don't always see what's good for us the way that God sees what's good for us, right? And we just have to be able to admit that. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Because I'm going to show you something that I think the Apostle Paul would have us know as we embark on this kind of Holy Week time. Today's Palm Sunday, and we will have a Good Friday service on Friday. We will have regular things happening on Wednesday night. Someone asked me that earlier. We will have all of that. And by the way, we do have a First Impressions training meeting. If you signed up for that for Easter, would you remember to stay with me? So we got a lot going on, a lot happening this week. It's an exciting week. But the Apostle Paul, I think, is telling us something in Galatians 6 that will help us understand what the most important thing is regarding how we handle the rest of this week and the things that we do, right? It's the amazing thing about some of the phenomena that I'm speaking of. You have the spiritual realm and powers and principalities, right? We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but these powers and principles. How do I defeat a power? I don't even see it, and yet I'm feeling bombarded by it. Let's say that you're going through a really good season, and you're having a really good time in your spiritual walk right now, right? D-Now kids, students, young adults, right? Probably a good week, right? Even though you're exhausted, I'm going to guess, I see this happen, I watched you a couple times this weekend, I think you've been drawn closer to God. And I think your walk with him right now is probably, hopefully, a little closer than it was when you started the weekend, right? So you're prime bait to be attacked right now. The enemy would like nothing more than for you to go home today and forget everything that you talked about and learned and committed to this week. And you go home and you get back in the real world, the world, right? And the flesh starts to lead you and guide you. And I'm praying that that doesn't happen. I've been praying that all weekend for you. So here's what I want you to know, right? Things are going good and you're in a good place with the Lord, as our DNOW students are. And suddenly we start thinking, yeah, God must be really loving me right now, right? He must be favoring me. And then you notice that someone else is struggling. Someone else is struggling in a bad way with sin. And there's a thought that can creep into our heads that tells us maybe God loves me more than he loves them. Maybe I'm his good son because he's a good father. But that other guy or that other girl, they're not good people. So they're in trouble, right? Paul addresses this because as Christians, when you and I see someone that's not in a good place and that needs help, we're to jump in. We're there to encourage them and to pray for them and to help them and assist them in any way that we can. The worst thing that we can do is condemn them or make them feel even more guilty than they already feel. So let me show you that. Galatians 6 verses 1 through 6. Would you stand with me in the honor of reading God's word together this morning? Let's let you stretch your legs for a moment here. Galatians 6 verses 1 through 6. Paul begins this way. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Heavenly Father, right now we commit our lives and our attention and our desire for you. We commit all of that to you now. Holy Spirit, will you come fill us, energize us, make us hungry and thirsty for what it is that you would have us to learn from the sharing of your word in such a way that, God, we change and we become more like you. Because this word will not return void. And we ask and pray that now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So Paul is saying here that we're in this battle together. And when you become aware of someone else's struggle, don't make the problem worse by going, shame on you, or how dare you, or get away from me, and I'm not going to be part of your life if you're going to do those things. I know that that's a fairly common thing, even in the church today. But this is what my heart's desire is for you, that you are strong enough in Christ to say, I'm jumping in, and I'm going to help you. Now, here's the problem. Paul says this, make sure that you don't be enticed by the sin that they're in. Make sure that when you're jumping in that suddenly you don't fall into those same struggles. Or maybe the enemy works his way in this spiritual realm, right? Someone's being bombarded. The enemy's there. You join in. He goes, hey, two for the price of one. And he starts bombarding you in that, right? So he's saying, be careful, be equipped, have the full armor of God on, be prepared for that situation. Don't be enticed by that. So watch, but carry one another's burdens. Right? Share in that. Help people who need help. And Paul tells us that when you do that, you fulfill the great command, right? Love God. You're loving God by obeying what he tells you to do. And you're loving others, despite the fact that it's probably not the easiest thing that you're going to get involved in. You know, I've seen this time and time again, and I myself sometimes find myself thinking this way, right? You get a phone call, you get an email, or you hear someone's going through a struggle. And sometimes your thought is, do I really want to get involved? Do I really want to do this? Because I'm really busy or I'm already helping several other people. Do I really want to get involved? And this is my thought every time I think that. I think, then why would God allow me to be called? Why would God allow me to have this email sent to, right? He's showing me that there's a need. And I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I know the one that can help that person. And that's my desire, to help those who say they need help by introducing them to the Savior who died for their sins. So Paul essentially is telling us this, that the evidence of a believer who's passionately following Christ isn't necessarily seen just by the way that he lives. It's by the way that he loves other people. And he concludes with this: we fight the good fight best helping others along the way. And I love that phrase, fight the good fight. Hopefully that's got a familiar ring to it, because that was the ultimate goal that the Apostle Paul had for his life. In fact, he shares later in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Right? One of the best ways that we avoid being bitter about our problems is taking our focus off of ourself and off of our problem and dedicating ourselves to helping and serving others in the middle of that hardship and trial. Think about this with me. If the enemy knows that he can get you out of the game, right? Here you are, a Christ believer and a Christ follower, and you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and your sins have been forgiven, and that burden's been lifted and removed from you. And he goes, how do I get you out of this game? Because you're wreaking havoc on the people that are in my army. So what's he do? He creates some controversy. He creates some hardship. He creates some trial. He creates some struggle. And suddenly we go, I'm wounded. I'm battle weary. I got to get well before I can help somebody else. Not so. You're already made well by Christ. So what he's telling us to do is, in the middle of that, go, hey, I trust you, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill this week, but you know how. I don't know how this doctor visit is going to go this week, but you know how it's going to go. I don't know how I'm going to mend this relationship with these people that I'm struggling with, but you know how. But in the meantime, while you're working in that, I'm going to war. I'm going to battle, right? There's a spiritual battle out there, and use me and your light and your life to be salt to those people, a purifying agent in their lives, so that they'll see you and me and be drawn to you because of it, despite the hardship and the struggle that I'm going through. That's how God uses us best. A strong faith leads to fighting hard, helping others, and finishing well. And that should be every Christian's desire, right? I want to finish well, because believe me, the enemy would like nothing less or more than to take you out, right? He'd love for you to go home today and go, yeah, I'm toast. I got no hope. There's no way I'm going to get out of the dilemma that I'm facing right now. Despite what the Bible says, despite what Jesus has promised me, despite what my teachers in church and my pastors in church tell me, there's no truth to that stuff. I've got no way out. And you go home downtrodden and defeated. And here's what won't happen. You're not looking to help somebody else. You're looking for a way out yourself. And Christ says, I've got this. I'm the creator of the universe. I'm the one that holds this all together, right? I've got you and you've got me, so don't worry. And I want you to keep this in mind, because sometimes we forget this. You know, nothing escapes him. Nothing escapes him. Not a single thing that our students did this weekend was missed by God. Right? Because, tell me if this isn't true. Like, there are moments that you guys are all together, and I love this, you know, kumbaya, we are Christians, this is awesome. But when you were alone in some of the homes and some of the adult leaders dozed off, what kind of conversations did you have then? How did that go? Right in the middle of this great weekend, right? All of a sudden the enemy wants to creep in and say, you know what? Let's talk about some of this other stuff. Right in the middle of it. And every one of us will be tempted in that way, right? It's March Madness. Is there a better time in life than March Madness other than heaven? I mean, I know you're Georgia people, so, and I am too now. I love football with all my heart, next to God and my wife. I love football, but I love basketball. Man, I love March Madness, right? So I'm sitting with our students Rob's killing it teaching. He's just doing a great job. He's speaking to me. It's like I'm the only one in the room. And he's pouring out his heart, you know, and I'm learning all this stuff. And I'm thinking, I wonder who's winning the UConn game. You know, did they pull that out? You know, the last few times they get in the tournament, they make a run, you know, and I'm thinking those thoughts. And there's nothing wrong with that. Honestly, I don't think that's sin. The problem is there's so many distractions in our world that they will absolutely just overwhelm us, right? I woke up this morning and I thought Cindy must have got a new clock because I'm hearing this clock, click, 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 click. So I'm walking around going, you know, what did you get, like a grandfather clock? This thing's echoing. Well, it's not a clock. It's a drip coming off the ceiling, right? And it's coming through a light fixture in my roof, and the whole thing surrounding it is wet. And I'm thinking, that's coming down. You know, I don't have to go up there and cut that out. It's going to fall out by the time I get home at church. So think about this with me. So I'm thinking, what would I have done if I wasn't sharing with you this morning, right? I make a phone call and say, I can't be there today. I got a situation up here. Now think about this with me again. Could the enemy do that to thwart me coming here today to hear his message so that my life can be changed forever simply by the sharing of God's word today and impact someone else's life because I'm willing to share that with someone else based upon what he's telling me? I think so. I think me not being here today, take aside the part that I'm the one that gets to share. But if I wasn't, not being here today, I don't have marching orders for today, right? I carry on with where I was last week, and I'm a little more fatigued because I wasn't filled by the jubilation that I feel when I'm surrounded by people like you worshiping God together and sharing God's word together, right? So those are the distractions that I'm talking about, right? So if there's a plumber in the room that wants to help me, amen, God bless you. Because I don't know what I'm facing when I get home, but I'm here and you're here and we're here together and God wants us to do this thing. Listen to what he continues saying in Galatians 6 verses 7 through 10. He says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And to that, I just have to say yes and amen. I mean, that's just an incredible passage. That's an incredible promise. That's for all of us here today. Right? God will not be mocked. God will not be deceived. And no matter what you're facing right now, if you're on his team and you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and he knows what you're facing today, you're going to be okay. God's going to lead you through that. I can't tell you exactly how it's going to go. I can't even promise that it's not going to get worse before it gets better. But God's got you. You're his because you believe and trust in his son. And you've got power happening. And this is no matter what it is that you're facing. And some of you are facing dire circumstances today. This is his promise. God provides the perfect amount of strength necessary for every and any problem that you're facing right now. The perfect amount of strength. Listen to this. Not too much. Not so that you're like, oh, this is nothing, right? Nor too little. I can't do this. The perfect amount. God, the only way I'm going to get through this is by you and with you and for you. The only way I'm going to survive this is you. I don't know what everyone's battle is here this morning, but I know enough about some of your battles to know that you're facing incredibly heavy situations right now. Some of you have lost loved ones recently, and that's hard. And it affects us. It impacts us when someone that we love passes. Some of you are facing some major health concerns, either you or people that you love. Some of you are facing incredibly heavy financial battles. Some of you can't see eye to eye with people that you desperately wish you could. And so the only hope that you and I have is Christ. But Christ is enough. And Christ will guide and direct you if you allow him, if you pray, if you seek his face, if you humble yourself, if you ask for his guidance, he will do that. And remember this, he's watching every moment. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. And that word mocked, it means fooled. I get fooled all the time. I do. It's funny. Church is kind of one of those places where you can be easily fooled. So every once in a while, I'll have someone say, Pastor, I'm with you. Here we go. Let's do this. Love what you said about that or that, and let's do this. And so we get to this, and I look around, and they're nowhere to be found. And I'm like, where did they go? And so one week, they're not there, and then the next week, they're not there, and then I find out they're gone. And I'm like, but did you not just tell me you were with me? Right? What changed here? I get fooled all the time. I mean, I really do. And you do too. Right? So what that creates in us is a thought that maybe I'm not ever going to trust anybody again because I say one thing and do another. Well, believe me when I say this, you can trust God, and God will not be fooled. He cannot be fooled. The original word mocked means fooled, but it also makes a reference to the word nose. And I know that sounds strange, but I can almost picture, like, have you ever noticed how our noses move when we're saying we're not going to do something we're supposed to? Like, yeah, I heard we're supposed to give, but I'm not giving what Pastor Rick says I'm going to give, right? The Bible says. Or, I know we're supposed to serve, but I'm not serving the way that the Bible says it. I'm not going to do what I've been doing all this time anymore because no one else is joining me to do it, right? We do that. For some reason, there's a reaction to our nose. And this is what God is saying to those of us who act that way. I'm not fooled by that. You're not going to mock me. You're not. What you sow, that's what you get back. That's what you're going to reap. And you may think that you're getting away with something because a bolt of lightning doesn't come crashing from the heavens and strike you dead because of your disobedience. But there will always be consequences to your disobedience. There will always be consequences to those who aren't following the ways of the Lord. And every once in a while people say, well, Pastor, whoa, I'm saved. Sins are forgiven. Therefore, I have no worries. Well, the question that I would ask you in regards to all of that is do we know who we're talking to? Do we understand who God really is? Because you and I will talk about him just casually. Thus saith the Lord, God says this, Jesus says this. But when we look to Scripture, we see the picture of God sitting on a throne in unapproachable light, right? You can't get to him, not because of guards, but because of glory, right? You can't, in your human flesh, you can't move in on him because he's so spectacular, right? The Bible says that he has hair like wool. I don't know what that means, but it's white and glistening. He has fiery eyes. Fire coming out of eyes. His feet are bronze, not bronze like me, bronze like feet that are in a fire in a furnace, right? Glistening skin. And when he speaks, his mouth speaks like rushing water. That's the God that sees everything, that knows everything. That's the God that will never fool. And so when you and I, we go, well, that's not for me. I'm a believer. My sins are forgiven. God says, I'm not fooled by you. When you disobey, you suffer consequences because you're my child. You've been given the hope and the power of the burden being released from you so that you can live in the freedom of following me. And yet every once in a while you choose not to. And would I not love you enough to say, no, you can't do that. That's not going to work in my kingdom. You know, let's correct this situation. Do I not love you enough to do that? Absolutely, I do. You will not fool God. So please do not think for a second that you're going to be the first person in all of humanity to fool him, because you won't be. So what do we do with this? We do not grow weary from doing good, right? The passage that he's sharing, it speaks to the fact that he's talking to the church. In fact, if you go all the way back to Galatians 1, verse 2, you're going to see the fact that it's to the church, right? He's speaking to the church, just like he's speaking to the church right here, right now, today. And this is what I believe he's saying to you. He's saying, my ways are so far above your ways. My thoughts are so far above your thoughts, right? So you need to seek me and follow me. Because you have an opinion, and everyone here has an opinion, but my opinion should matter most. So let me bring this in with Palm Sunday, right? People are recognizing Jesus as Messiah, as Savior, and they've been waiting for him to come for centuries, believing that God would send someone to release them from the bondage that they were suffering and the oppression that they were suffering from other governments. And so when he comes in to the holy city, they're laying palms down and their jackets down because he's riding in on a donkey. They don't want their king to be dusty, right? They're praising him and shouting, Hosanna. And they're ready to see things kick in. But when it didn't kick in the way that they wanted it to, it only took a matter of days before those same people not only stopped praising him, but they abandoned him. And they handed him over, or allowed him to be handed over, to the government and to the religious leaders, who then put him on a cross and crucified him. And you and I, where we would never imagine that we would do something like that with Jesus, if we were right there before him and we knew who he was and we offered him our coat and our branches and we said, we love you. We'd never imagine that we would ever allow him to be crucified. But when you and I doubt who God really is in our day-to-day lives, we inhibit the power that he wants revealed through us in regards to helping and leading others to become believers and passionate followers of Jesus Christ. So let me read this to you again, and I'm praying that God speaks clearly to your hearts this morning. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now is the time for sowing good seeds. So invite someone to church next week. Take this invitation, share it with somebody, and tell them you know about a great place that's having a great celebration next Sunday, and invite them to come join us and see if the Holy Spirit doesn't move in them in such a way that he speaks to them and says, you need to be there. You need to hear the gospel being shared there. This celebration is for you. Because if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to serve, despite the hardships and the challenges and the difficult things that you're going through right now, God will not be mocked. God will not be deceived. He'll see what you do because you're not growing weary of doing good. And in the proper time, could be the next day, could be the next week, could be the next month, could be the next year, right? You plant a seed in your backyard, does it immediately sprout and you harvest it? No, it takes time sometimes. Right? You don't have to be a farmer to know that. That's the same way God's blessing works. He knows the proper time for you to receive the perfect blessing based upon your willingness just to say, God, you take me and use me to glorify your name. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name right now, I just ask that you would move in our hearts and that we would see the incredible opportunity we have just one time a year, really. There's one Easter a year, and where we talk about it being our favorite time of the year. God, it's not just meant for us. It's too good of news to be kept to ourselves. It must be shared, especially by your church. So God, we're asking you right now to lead us and guide us to the people that you want us to invite. Quicken us with your spirit in such a way that when we encounter someone that you're leading us to invite, that we'd be bold enough and courageous enough to speak those words, to share an invitation piece and to invite them to smile so that when they see us, they see the Christ that lives in us. And God, we pray then that you'll give that individual the courage to come. And we pray that their lives will be changed forever when they get here. Because next week and all of this week and today is all about you. We love you and we are your people. So empower us and give us wisdom when we leave here today to do exactly what it is that you would have us to do. And we ask and pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.